Hello, everybody. Thank you for joining us again on Millennial Movie Mix. I'm one of your hosts, Sarah, and with me as always is...
Ashley.
Kristen.
And Justin. It's always been in my life from the time that I was a small child till now. I own it on DVD. That's how we watched it. So this movie... Oh, Ashley, what?
I was just going to say, I got bullied in T-ball, and that was like the only... sport thing that I did, and I was only at one game and I cried and I was like, I don't want to do it anymore. At least that's how I remember it. I'll have to ask my dad if that's really how it went down.
And so then because of that you were just like done with all sports?
For the most part, but I did things like dance and kung fu things.
I don't think you missed out on much. I think you made up for it.
Yeah, I think so.
I would most definitely want to do kung fu. I mean, I did taekwondo too.
I did karate.
I wish I could still, like, I wish I was still in kung fu, but my teacher moved, so that's, that's what ended that.
Do you still have, like, the fan and all that shit?
Yes, and my staff. That was my fucking favorite.
I have, like, my very first board that I ever broke, signed by, like, the master of the... Like the master guy who like traveled around to all of the different classes that were in the different in the area. I can't even remember his name, but he signed my board. I don't know.
That's so cool.
I have all my belts somewhere. All right. So this movie was made for $6.9 million and it box officed $8
million. Oh.
Oh. Well,
wow. Yeah, but it did become a cult classic.
Yeah, for sure.
It's garnered a huge audience. You have some people in this film who kind of blew up as stars.
Oh yeah.
And not like your main people. Like Jason London, we saw him last time before in Carrie 2.
Yeah.
So he's been in some stuff, but he never like blew up. The guy who played Mitch never blew up. The girl who played Jody never blew up. Who do you guys know in this movie?
Mila Jovovich.
Mila Jovovich. Yeah.
And Ben Affleck and Matthew McConaughey. And what's that guy? Adam Goldberg. And there's someone else. Who was it? I can't remember.
Parker Posey.
Yeah.
Oh, I love Parker Posey. If you clicked on the podcast, you know it's Dazed and Confused.
Yes.
1993.
With a long cast of characters that will leave you dazed and confused.
Oh my god, there's so many. You two weren't even born yet in 93.
No.
I was 9 years old.
I would be 11.
So, what I remember from this about this movie is that my mom got this movie from like Columbia Movie House, you know, one of those things that we talk about all the time.
Yeah.
And so we had this VHS, and she loved this movie.
Oh yeah.
So then we watched it all of the time, and so then I watched it all of the time. So I've grown. So like, I really like Parker Posey in this movie.
So, like, I don't really have any context for, like, growing up in this time, but did your mom ever, like, comment on the hazing in the movie?
No, but also, like, so my mom was a teenager in the 80s.
Okay.
Like, early 80s. And so she, like, yeah, she probably would have been, like, grade school or junior high in like 76.
Okay. Maybe even.
So like, but like you, like through the grapevine and like other people, most definitely, like I knew about hazing and had heard about hazing, you know, especially from like college campuses and stuff like that, but from sports teams. But yeah, hazing was something that, that you would have just taken as, yeah, that it's totally believable.
Mm-hmm. It's coming back, Ashley. Just wait for it.
I, to this day, will wear, because bell bottoms are coming back, or at least flare jeans are coming back. I like to wear, you know, striped shirt, high-waisted flare jeans, like, and so I was really happy about the wardrobe in this movie.
There we go. It's the 70s, it's the 90s. Those are the years that people go to.
And also, like, I feel like most all of the actors looked very 70s, or if they didn't, they really made them look that way.
Yeah, they were very authentic.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was set in 76. So this was the, you know, the bicentennial. Mm.
Yeah.
1776, 1976. That's why I can't wait till we can get until 2076. Oh. I gotta make it.
I don't really have much nostalgia, but I did have some, like, maybe millennial movie moments that I thought that, you know, people in our generation would appreciate.
Okay.
So instead of triggers, I've got like these little glimmers. So we've got manual windows on cars.
Yes.
Jesus.
We've got manual locks on cars, super skinny jeans, VW buses, and last but not least, I think this might be the original, all right, all right, all right.
It is, yeah. This is where this came from. Yeah, it is. This is ingrained in our culture.
Oh, yeah.
I also know that a lot of people would comment on, like, the pliers being used to pull up the skinny jeans.
I was just going to say that. And I have done that.
You've done that?
Oh, my God.
I was going to say, that is nostalgia for me because, yes, that has been done.
I think I've heard people talk about that before.
Yeah.
So just everything down to, like, even the cars that they used in this movie.
Yeah.
Like, I wrote down a few of them, like a Pontiac GTO. They had a Beetle convertible.
Yeah.
Wooderson, who is McConaughey's character, he drives an SS Chevelle.
That's a nice-ass car.
And I think that Pink drives an El Camino.
Oh, and let's not forget that none of the cars had seatbelts.
No.
Oh, they didn't?
Yeah.
Ashley, when I got my 77 Cobra 2, Dad had to install seatbelts in that bitch.
He did. I completely forgot about that.
It didn't
that.
Have power steering either.
No, it didn't. The speedometer didn't work, you guys.
And that's why that car went bye-bye.
Now, something that was nostalgic actually for me is that I did play baseball as a kid.
I did too, yeah.
So
I played t-ball and was very bad at it.
Oh, I had to play I started with t-ball. I had to play up, like, through the – and so I remember the – like being on the field and the lights and the stands and like, so I like being in a dumb baseball uniform.
Yeah.
dumb baseball uniform.
I actually liked baseball. Baseball was like my favorite sport out of all the ones that I tried.
I'm glad that you liked it. I liked tennis.
But I think that was partially because Dad was my coach.
Yeah.
That
would be awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Sarah, you said Mila Jovovich, most definitely from Resident Evil and The Fifth Element.
Yes.
She blew up as a star.
Oh my God. I fucking love her.
Did you guys ever experience anything to that degree? Because I didn't. And Sarah, I don't think you did, right?
No. I would not purposefully let people do that kind of shit to me. I would beat someone the fuck up.
No, when I played tennis when I was in school, and you know, there were long bus rides where you would have like older kids like saying stuff, like people would, but you never had to do anything. It was always just like they would say things that would make you uncomfortable.
It was bullying, not hazing.
Almost, yeah. I mean, on the team, like I got bullied elsewhere.
Mean, like, I mean,
a weird teasing.
I mean, I got taunted, but no one ever like physically or anything like that. Like, it was just taunting.
Like, I've never seen a paddle in my life, but like, I was bullied.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was gonna say, maybe, I don't know, maybe I was bullied so hard that I'm confused about hazing and bullying.
Justin, I feel like you got bullied the most out of all of us.
I blacked out.
You could have.
I got bullied pretty hardcore.
Yeah.
Yeah. Got hit from all angles. But no, yes, but I never like had to like push a penny, or I never had to I never got whooped.
Like food thrown on you, or
I don't think I ever had food thrown on me.
I think I actually did have food thrown on me once.
Oh, not my part God. Of a hazing ritual, just like, no, like someone bullying. Being an asshole. Yeah, yeah, being an yeah. Asshole.
Do we need revenge?
No, we need... No, life has been revenge.
I'm sure that life
has been. Okay.
Okay. Let's hope that life, that karma actually works.
It does.
I don't know.
It sometimes does. It's fun to watch that unfold. I've had that happen before. It's so fucking funny.
You watched the karma.
Yes.
It doesn't count as watching the karma if you're holding the knife.
No.
You have to. I mean, to actually let fate do it.
A lot of them died, but it's not my fault.
You were very damn, happy when they died.
That needs to go on a quilt, and that is someone's best defense.
Actually, you need to do needlepoint of that.
Needlepoint, please.
A lot of them all died, right. But it's not my fault. Okay.
So, Dazed and Confused, 93, you guys don't have much nostalgia for it. It is about the 70s. We don't really have nostalgia for the 70s, but I do feel like I've always liked the 70s. But I think that, like, we're supposed to. And then what I'm seeing now in, like, the generations today is they're really fond of the 90s.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So oh, there's yeah, this weird. Sure. And I love there's a part in this character, Cynthia, in the movie that we're about to talk about. She's like, the 50s were boring. The 60s were radical. Yeah. The 70s mm-hmm. suck. The 80s right. are going to be great. And it was like,
and then,
was like, have you met Reagan?
They said it can't get any worse, and I laughed. It was like one of those
that's right.
laughs where I hurt, I felt it, and it hurt, and all I could do was laugh.
It just came right out. Yeah. Couldn't stop it.
But I always loved this movie because of the time, and even I think watching it now, like you show this to someone who is born after 2000, and they'd be like, "Wait, was this made in the 70s?"
Yeah, for real.
Because like the production design was great,
the wardrobe was fantastic.
Yeah.
Like I
yeah,
love
the wardrobe. Perfect. Yeah,
I'd love to get me some of those bell bottom like rainbow jeans. Like,
and in this movie, she's great.
Yeah, I love it. One of my favorite scenes is of her lighting a joint, and she is looking at the flame of the the lighter that got me. I laughed.
I love when she's singing the song and she has the joint attached to her guitar.
Yeah.
It's like the little, the subtle nuances of all of these actors because they get to weave in and out of this tale. I love that it's like 24 hours and you get to just meet all of these people.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Kristen, you said Parker Posey.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's in Scream 3 and Blade 3. She's in the new Lost in Space.
Yes. Yes, she is. Oh,
yes,
my
she
God.
Is. That's her.
I love that show. I cannot wait for the next season. It's so good.
But she shows up in tons of 90s movies, 2000s. She's in those Best in Show and A Mighty Wind. You know, those movies we talk about, Ashley, the Christopher Guest, the so that is a weird thing. I wonder why that is. I wonder why it is Lee High School, and I wonder why
that was like the school that they chose for the U.S. bicentennial like thing, like setting of the movie is weird for me.
Huh. Well, I mean, the younger guy, meaning like Mitch, the main character guy, or like one of the
Mitch.
I don't know. I'll have to look it up. I mean, 1993, you definitely were not having people talking about questioning Robert E. Lee or taking down statues. And I'm not sure about, like, a glorification of it. Like, I don't know that. I mean, like, just by having it in there, it accidentally glorifies it, or it...
Did they actually film in this high school so they needed to use Lee High School? I mean, where was it filmed?
I mean,
they filmed at two different high schools. One was just for like the football field and the exterior, and then the other was a school, and I don't remember the name of that.
I don't know if they really purposefully...
Eugene Levy.
The Eugene Levy movies we talk about that are like the improv with the Catherine
O'Hara. Okay. Yes.
Yeah, so she's in a lot of those movies too. Parker Posey is. And yeah, Sarah, you said Ben Affleck. Affleck. Yeah, he's fucking in this movie. Yeah. What a POS in this movie.
Yeah.
I know. Like, I'm sorry, Ben Affleck. I don't particularly care for him anyways. And then in this movie, it's just like, oh my God, just please go away.
It scares me because I feel like that was not acting.
I know, right?
Or was it just that good?
Yeah, I have no idea. Is he that good at it? Yeah. Or is he really that big of a dick?
I think he just played that part really well.
He did. Yeah, he really did. Who also played the part really well was Rory Cochran, who played Slater in this movie, the stoner.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh my God, he was great.
It was great. Check you later.
He's my favorite. He's your favorite. Group. Yeah.
Just like over explaining himself to death.
Talking about fucking alien cults and dollar bill conspiracies.
And yeah, Martha Washington.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
Yeah.
All they did was, it was just a hemp farm from what my research concluded.
Well, and she always had a bowl waiting for George when he got home. I love it. I know we have triggers to talk about.
Yes.
And so we got to do that before we go into the actual movie.
Are you guys ready?
Yeah.
There can't be a lot.
Yes, there is.
So we've got drug paraphernalia and use, gambling, being unsafe in shop class. That was one thing.
That was one thing.
You know that it only happened for like half a second, or I don't know. There were two scenes in the shop. And
if somebody ever had an accident in their shop class, they'd watch this. And...
We did
have someone get hurt in our shop class. So,
and I almost lost my fingers because our teacher was a fucking idiot and he did not last very long.
I don't know who that is.
We don't have to name them, but we'll talk later. We'll talk later.
All right, so there's a trigger. Shop class trigger. There are triggers everywhere,
yes,
people.
Yes. High school. Hazing.
Yeah. That's life. Everybody has that trigger.
Yeah. Okay. So we also have hazing, paddles, bullying, homophobic language, toxic masculinity, surprise, surprise, sexual harassment, being threatened with a gun, underage drinking and smoking, statutory rape / grooming. It's a whitewashed film, and this, I don't know quite how to word this, but Confederate pride is what I came up with. Pride in quotes. So school's name is Lee High School, and they are the Fighting Rebels, which is not cool. The Confederacy was a traitorous nation that ultimately surrendered to the United States and was a very problematic nation. And it's dead now. So I don't know. I just think that's fucking weird.
In all of my years watching this, I never knew they were the rebels.
I didn't
know. Oh, yeah. You can. Their colors are gray. And I found a website where you could, like, I just wanted to double check. And it was, like, T-shirts and merch for the movie, and that was the thing. With a portrait of Robert E. Lee.
Oh.
A portrait of Robert E. Lee on the website for...
No, on the t-shirt. For the Lee Fighting Rebels. The movie.
Huh, I wonder if that's official merch.
It did not come from, like, a network site. But people were selling it.
Yeah, people sell everything in anything.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely disappointing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I saw that this was Lee High School. But yeah, I never thought about the rebels part of it.
To be honest, I didn't even know it was Lee High School.
I didn't know that either. I didn't pay much attention to that part.
I'm watching it for, like, all of these people are like, fuck the system, fuck the establishment, fuck the authority, fuck the adults.
Did that just because it was so subtle? I didn't even notice it. And you guys said you didn't notice it either.
The I'm wondering, because the thing is, in the South still today, you will find in nearly every city a Lee High School.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean,
absolutely without question.
I mean, we drive through there every year and we always see, you know, all kinds of shit.
Well, and I think Richard Linklater, I think he's from Texas.
Yeah, I'm not saying they didn't. I just never noticed.
Yeah.
Like, they would have said it talking about, like, who said it?
I think it was the boy, like the younger boy, said something about the rebels, and I was like, what? And then I don't know, anytime I see the name Lee attached to anything, it's like a red flag for me. I'm like, why is it named Lee? It's after Robert E. Lee. And so I looked that up, and then later in the movie someone said fighting rebels, and so I looked that up. I don't remember who said it, but I think it was a younger guy. Because this is set in 1976, the USA Bicentennial, but then they chose for the school to be Lee Fighting Rebels. Like,
I know.
Yeah, that's odd. I just never noticed before.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they never say anything about the Bicentennial. And I don't, do they ever
there's
say?
There's a poster.
There's a poster?
Yeah, there's a poster.
They don't say anything, but there's a poster.
Yeah.
Like, I wonder, and, like, yeah, why is it? Is it in Texas because it's, like, about football?
I don't know.
So, but then, like, you could have a Lee High School anyway.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people are changing the names, though. Not enough, but many.
Yeah, and, like, the statues and all of those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, that's all new information to me, because I never saw any of that kind of mentality or stuff here, because the main message is like if it is Lee High School, the only representative, I mean, we get the coach, and then we get the teacher who, like, clearly is the Democrat, because she says the most bitchin' time she ever had was at the 68 Democratic Convention.
Right.
And then ultimately what we do is say fuck you to the system. So I don't know, maybe it's Lee High School because they say fuck you.
Maybe.
But I don't know.
I that could be possible, because I really didn't, like you say, I didn't notice any of that mentality. Except for in the people who we were supposed to notice it in, the bad guys.
Yeah, and like I said, I didn't see rebels in the movie.
They said it.
I mean,
maybe it was just like a callback to somebody's high school.
Like creating an authenticity of the time. I mean, we're talking about, I mean, we haven't gone into the movie, but there is not a lot of representation of different. I mean, you have nothing of any kind of Hispanic person.
Mm-mm.
You have two black people. Uh-huh. One's a teacher who's a Vietnam veteran, and then one who is a student.
And once they showed two black students playing like a dice game or something, the gambling, whatever they were doing.
But like, you don't follow around any of, you know, any other character who is not white and straight.
I feel odd that I never noticed it before.
Yeah. I mean, and that's why we're here. Maybe because it's not a, like, that's why I want to go watch it again now to see when they say rebels. I mean,
or to see how much we notice it, or like the extent of it. I've seen this movie
so many times, and there is just so many other things about it that I always notice. And so maybe I became numb, but I just don't know that it's actually a big deal in the movie.
It's pretty subtle. It's just the fact that they did it. Like, what was the sentiment behind them doing that? Is what I want to know. Just,
like, authenticity in a Texas high school.
Right.
Yeah.
Hopefully that's the answer.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
But that's why the millennial.
Yeah.
So, question everything.
Look at everything under our woke microscope.
So we'll just hope that it was just for authenticity's sake.
Because it was a Texas high school.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Were those all of the triggers, though? Because, I mean, I never saw a rebel flag.
Yeah, I couldn't see a rebel flag. I did see some like red, white, and blue things inside the high school, but I don't think I saw any Confederate flags.
And I honestly, I doubt that anyone, I mean, I not doubt, a lot of people probably couldn't even connect Lee High School to Robert E. Lee.
Anymore, for sure, but.
Yeah.
I also noticed there was driving under the influence and physical violence, too.
Yeah. Definitely for driving under the influence.
Yeah, that's one thing that makes, that's one of those things where if you just, like, want to piss me off, like, there you go.
This was way in the time before Mothers Against Drunk Driving or
any kind of. And that was another thing. The legal drinking age in this movie was 18. And the scene where Mitch buys alcohol, he's seen the attendant is seen selling cigarettes to a pregnant woman who was smoking.
Oh, yeah. But that's totally satire. Because the clerk is telling her to take all these vitamins and to do all this good stuff while selling her cigarettes and alcohol, saying, I'll see you tomorrow.
Right.
Like, that was put there for a...
Yeah. Yeah, a funny moment.
Yeah. All right, well, I mean, so we went through a list of triggers. And so we're good for, like, talking about the movie now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
It is May 28th, 1976, the last day of school at Lee High School in Austin, Texas. The next year's group of seniors are preparing for the annual hazing of incoming freshmen. Randall Pink Floyd, the school's star football player, is asked to sign a pledge promising not to take drugs during the summer or do anything that would jeopardize the goal of a championship season. When classes end, the incoming freshman boys are hunted down by the seniors and paddled. The incoming freshman girls are also hazed. They're rounded up in the school parking lot by senior girls, covered in mustard, ketchup, flour, and raw eggs, and forced to propose to senior boys.
All right. All right, all right, all right. So I think that right away, when the film starts, we have to address that this film is in our category for sex, drugs, and rock and roll.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And the soundtrack to this film
is amazing.
It was so good.
There you go, Sarah. Take it over.
Yeah, I personally got very excited. I got really excited about the soundtrack.
Me too.
When I heard Paranoid, I got very excited because that was like one of the first songs I learned in completion on my guitar. So that was
Yeah, you got a little Sabbath. You got Sabbath here, Alice Cooper, Bob Dylan, you got ZZ Top, you have Kiss. I mean, so many other. I mean, throughout this whole movie, you have Sweet Emotion, Free Ride, Low Rider, No More Mr. Nice Guy, Paranoid, Tush, one of my favorite moments in the whole movie, my favorite song in the whole movie, I think. Cherry Bomb. Plays at the party. I mean, this is a rock and roll soundtrack like no other. I think I would put it up against all of the other films as like, you know, because we're getting ready to go into sex, you know, into our rock and roll August. And so, like, we were, you know, with Dazed and Confused, I don't know, we put it up against any other film coming up, and this soundtrack's gonna kill it, I think.
Yeah, it's a really good soundtrack.
Yeah, it was.
And not to mention, you start off with the rolling of a joint.
Oh my god! Yes. But she had fucking weed everywhere. Oh my god!
That's so
god.
Accurate.
Yeah,
that's so accurate.
Well, and like, who cares? Like, they could find more then. Like, and she was dating a dealer. Like, what's she care about?
Yeah.
Those little
no.
She never had to be like struggling and trying to scrape out all her remnants.
No. That scene right there was like, what are you doing? Why are you doing this to me? What have you done?
You're out of the movie then when you're like, protect that ganja.
You gotta get it all. You have to save it. Put it back in the joint. Pack it a little bit more.
I should have added that as a trigger. I'm sorry.
Yes, the mistreatment of cannabis is a trigger. But I love how the movie starts. You're bouncing from one to the other Like the camera's moving seamlessly. You have these conversations that are being picked up between all of the characters. I mean, so what characters stand out to you in this section? Because we get from the beginning until they do the hazing. So, like, what people stand out to you?
Slater.
Definitely Slater.
Just, he's like, I'm so high right now.
Man, I'm wasted.
Like, when you see him first, I think he's taking a pill. Or he's taking something.
Yeah. Yeah. At the drinking fountain.
Yeah.
Yes. And I think that, like, every single one of us could identify that person in our high school.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then he just, everything takes a moment before he says anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
like you can see the lag, buffering.
Right.
Before it actually happens. Yeah, that dude's going to pop up later because Rory Cochrane is also in another rock and roll film that we're going to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
About some rock and roll, so he's gonna pop up later, and we'll have to see what kind of actor he is, how he is in that movie versus this movie. So I think he played a stoner very, very well.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
was he stoned?
Ashley, is he the one? Because Sarah named him. Who stood out to you?
Slater.
Slater, that was yours too.
Yeah.
Jody. Is that her name?
Jody.
I don't know why. She always stands out to me.
Okay. Just for like what?
I don't know why.
Because she's just like the...
She's pretty.
Normal. Gorgeous.
She's pretty.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. So, I mean, a victim of its time for the writing. I mean, who the audience would be and where it was filmed. There's the scene where she... goes up and talks to the guys about taking it easy on the brother, and you know that's a bad thing right mm-hmm. away.
Yeah.
But then she walks away, and I think they hit her ass, and yeah. She doesn't. She's just like, "Oh, those guys."
Yeah.
Boys will be boys, I guess. Something like that. Yeah.
Is that what she says?
No, that's just like whatever pops into my head whenever people do that. Like when they don't say anything back to people that do that to you, like, oh, you're just thinking boys will be boys. No, you should hit the fuck out of them.
Yeah. Seriously.
That's right. You take the brass knuckles out of your pocket and you use them. So of course, you know, you're supposed to like relate to Pink, you know, right? Like, Randy Floyd,
yeah.
You know, he's the mm-hmm. you know, everything is so upsetting and depressing and all of that good stuff. I think somebody mm-hmm. actually says to him later, like, what's your problem? You guys are like, you rule the school, why are you so depressed?
Right.
But, like, you're supposed to like attach to him. But I've always liked Pickford and Michelle, the drug dealer and Mila Jovovich.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like those two, I like everything. Like, I think it's really cool. Like, from down to, like, his bedroom. I don't know if, I don't know if we get to that part yet.
We haven't seen that part yet.
Yeah. And like all the decorations and stuff for, like, her art and then, like, her songs and things like that. Mm-hmm. And, like, you start with the movie with the rolling. And so, like, those two stand out to me. Also, they're incredibly gorgeous. We're talking about people who stand out because they're gorgeous.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, but I mean, you got to look at the trio of Mike and Tony and Cynthia.
I really like their trio.
Mm-hmm.
They're wonderful.
And
they're my favorite.
You have Tony who reveals his Abraham Lincoln dream.
His Abraham Lincoln dream.
Little Wayne's World, right?
Let me add in here. Did anyone else notice that the actor, I don't know his name, blushes when he's talking about this? Like,
does he?
He actually literally blushes. So I'm like, did you really have a Abraham Lincoln
Maybe
dream?
Maybe he did. The guy who plays Tony, his name is Tony. It's Anthony Rapp. He originated a role in Rent. Fuck. Shit. Damn. What is his name?
I know.
Tango Maureen.
Oh my god.
That was him.
You're right.
I can't believe I can't remember his name.
Oh my god.
I swear
I'll say something and it'll be wrong, so I'm not going to say anything.
We get to recording and I I forget people's names. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, so he plays Mark in Rent.
Okay. I was gonna say Mark, and I didn't say it.
Mark, the main character. He starts everything out. But he plays it in the movie, but also he was the guy on stage who did it. So that guy can actually sing and everything like that.
Yeah.
He has a really good voice.
But then Mike in this movie, who is Adam Goldberg. Sarah, where do you know him from? Did you say his name?
So he's in The Equalizer. He's in, like, Taken, I think, you know, action movies and shit like that.
Oh, really? Okay. See, I know him from being the crazy guy on Friends.
Oh.
Yeah, who's Chandler's roommate when Joey moves out?
Yeah, I don't watch Friends. I've never seen
Oh, yeah, you don't have to. Friends, yeah, it's not good for culture.
No.
But I lived through it. It was huge. So yeah. If you're a millennial, you just had it.
I actually never watched it. Back
really?
Until we watched it together.
Yeah.
Recently. Like, not even that long ago.
So we get introduced to this trio. We get introduced to the stoner. We get introduced to the drug dealer. We get introduced to the star player. All these different cliques. All these different stereotypes in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And you have, like Randall Pink Floyd, who seems to go in all of them.
Yeah, there are people in high school who do that too. There's that group of people too.
Yeah. So he knows the three, I mean, I guess you'd call them nerds, the ones who they're playing poker and having the philosophical and government conversations. He is, of course, hanging with the stoner and the drug dealer. That's where he's getting his drugs from. But then he's got his sport athlete friends. Who are you people hanging with?
I mean, you know where I'm going. Come on.
Okay.
I'm hanging out with the activist group.
The activist group. So you're BFFs with Cynthia.
Like, basically. She's the one with the red curly hair, right?
Yeah, she's the red hair.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes.
I was kind of in
what
like
about you guys?
The weird group. We were kind of like mostly nerds, but we hung out with like everybody.
Oh, I didn't mean who you really were.
Oh, well, that's who I really was.
Okay, that's who you really were.
Yes. Who am I?
I had people
with now,
in each clique who were nice to me. I could talk to members of each, and I had people in each clique who didn't like me. No, but like in the movie, like most definitely, like I think that I would want to be hanging out with the drug dealers and stuff, but like I would probably like be at the poker table, being all nerdy.
at the poker table,
being nerdy. No, but I'm gonna say I'm hanging out with the drug dealer and the stoner.
Yeah,
yeah, for sure.
And not and fucking the up the keg order.
Yeah.
Definitely not the athlete jock
no.
person.
Oh my God, no.
No.
Not hanging with O'Banion or Benny or Don.
Oh, no.
Maybe I'll hang with Melvin because Melvin was not an asshole at all. So that would have been okay. All right, so we have the hazing that goes down here too. Which that includes the guys getting in their truck, driving to the junior high school, using their loudspeaker to threaten all of the incoming freshmen.
And everyone thinks it's just fine.
Uh-huh.
Right. The teachers don't do shit.
Nope. One of them's laughing about it, being like, haha. And that mentality of, I had to suffer, so you're going to suffer, which I fucking hate.
Yeah.
It needs to be eradicated.
Yes.
I do my best to be the change I want to see in the world. So I don't pretend like I don't see shit. It was hurtful when you were in school and you knew that other people like knew that you like were like needed someone and like nobody would just do anything. Like that's like debilitating.
Mm-hmm.
So then like to know that even something like this where it's you're gonna get paddled. And then, like, you go up to the teacher, and he cares nothing about what's going to happen to you.
Yeah.
Well, then, like, that was some intense hazing for high school kids. Like, I know that they have, like, intense ones for college, and I, like, I still don't agree with that, but that was some intense stuff for high school kids.
Yeah, yes. Just the idea of the getting paddled.
Yeah, like,
well, and then,
you
like,
just left your middle school building and you're being run down by some assholes in their truck. They jump out and try to beat you. Like,
well, and also the girls, it's degrading as fuck for them to have to get down on their knees while they're covered in food that everybody threw at them, and then they have to propose to somebody while they're saying nasty stuff about them. Like, that's fucked up.
Okay, like, so, like, when you get to, like, the propose and the say nasty stuff, I'm on your side. With the girls, it seemed like they volunteered.
Yes, that's what I was going to say. Like, I noticed more so this time around than other times before. They were, like, willingly participating. They weren't, like, forcing anyone. It's just these girls who wanted to be in with the cool high school girls were doing it willingly.
The guys were beating the shit out of other boys for dominance.
Yeah.
And not all of them befriended. But then you go over to, like, the girls, and, like, they're doing it for dominance, I know. But, like, it seemed to be, like, was it just Jody who asked? Others were like, hey, you have to do this?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's still not right anyways, but them voluntarily doing
the ketchup, like, the eggs, yeah, the flour.
The one that I took the biggest issue with was, like, the whole, like, practicing thing, like, oh, I'll do anything you like with the older boys.
Anything you want. Whatever. Well, because, you
but
want.
That's not what the seniors told them to say. The senior said, propose. She said, do anything you want.
They mentioned something later about how they were supposed to say.
Yeah.
She said, what am I supposed to say?
No, it's like later. I cannot remember specifically, but I had thought the same thing. I was like, did they tell them to say anything you want? Because they both answered that way. And then later on, they made a comment about how that they told them to say it.
I just, because when Siobhan brings Sabrina over, she's then like, she says, like, you're an asshole.
Yeah.
For what Don says.
Yeah, he's also very, really vulgar about it.
Like, he goes too far.
Yeah.
Don, it is fucking weird. Like, there's a scene later where Slater is going to bad talk all girls in high school. And Don's going to be like, well, it sounds like you just are mad because you haven't gotten any. And that made me think of, what's the term? Are they called incels?
Yeah.
Yes.
All of
involuntarily
celibate. All of these guys who can't get any, so they just get so angry at everybody and everything, like, including, like, women.
It's probably,
like,
because
Don's an asshole, but he was just like, don't talk about women like that. Just because you don't be mad because you haven't gotten any.
Yeah.
Yeah, it might be your fault.
maybe.
Just maybe.
There might be something wrong with you. No matter what your mommy said about you. That could be something. So you get they take him through the car wash.
Mm-hmm.
And does all of that equal the ass pounding? Because that is humiliating. That is that's degrading. It's emasculating.
It's specifically for I can't remember characters' names.
Mitch,
yes. Specifically for Mitch, they've humiliated him more than once in public.
Yeah, stalked him, taunted him.
Yes, and if they had said before they were going to each take 5 swings at him. Those were 5 guys taking 5 hard swings with wooden paddles. This kid is bruised the fuck up.
So when you get to, like, the female hazing, it is a little more psychological.
Yes.
Psychologically degrading. Whereas the guy, they're trying to tear them down and physically dominate them. All right, so then what this pledge that all of the football players are supposed to sign about not doing drugs and alcohol. Like, that's not so bad, right?
Yeah, I mean, like, you can just sign it and then do it.
Okay. I think their issue, yeah, that was my thing too. Like, just sign it. But I mean, that's his issue with it. But
he doesn't want to be a hypocrite or like a liar.
The thing is that it says over the summer. So like, that's his own time. You know, like when he should be doing whatever is his own business.
Yeah.
You know,
stick it to the man.
Well, that's right. He's trying to stand up for what he thinks is right. And you know, they're trying to control them. But I mean, that happens all of the time. You know, people who go into teams, they have to sign like ethics and moral clauses.
Right.
You know, they have to kind of give parts of themselves away in order to do what they like to do. And we're seeing that Randy Pink Floyd doesn't want to say, I won't do drugs, and then go do drugs.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it's weird. Like, then you think about, like, yeah, they raised the age to 21, maybe because of shit like this.
Mm-hmm.
It's like probably too hard to tell who's in high school, who's not. But like, also, there's a lot of precious brain development that's still going on up until like you're 25. So I think that has a lot to do with it too.
Yeah. So maybe like, don't deaden it with all of the alcohol and the drugs in high school. I didn't do a lot of stuff. You have like sophomores, freshmen through seniors in high school, smoking of the ganja and doing of the alcohol. When did you all start your partying?
I was graduating high school before I had any alcohol, and I did not smoke until I was 22.
Okay.
I had alcohol, like, a serious amount for the first time when I was 20. And I tried smoking weed one time, and that did not go well. So I'm living that sober life. Woo!
I had, like, samples of drinking, like, at family dinners, but I don't really like alcohol that much. I would rather smoke, and I started smoking at 21.
Yeah,
Sarah was the first person to get me drunk.
Sarah was the first person to get you drunk?
Well, she made your bachelorette party, right?
Man, yeah. Your mom did say that Sarah was a bad influence.
I know. It was really funny, though. She, like, she kept pouring me mimosas, and I was like, oh, I'm going to stand up to go to the kitchen, get some water, and maybe get another mimosa. So I opened up the fridge, and there's, like, two fingers left in the whole bottle of champagne. I was like, who else is drinking this? And she was like, just you.
You're drunk now.
So I just finished the bottle of champagne, because why the fuck not?
You are one with the champagne.
Well, and I also, every time I made you one, I put more alcohol in the next one and less of the orange juice.
That's how you do it. You don't. It tastes just fine.
Great.
I was actually pretty good all through my schooling. I didn't have alcohol until I was in my senior year. I think I was 17. I turned 18 right when we graduated. And I didn't take a hit of the marijuana until I was like 19 20 years old, 19 maybe. It was on a New Year's Eve one time. So yeah, I was really good.
We were mellow high schoolers. That's what I'm hearing.
Definitely not the incoming freshman who is handed the joint and has to. But we didn't get to that section yet.
No, have you guys ever been, like, who offered it to you? Because I was never offered drugs in school, ever.
Well, I wasn't offered, in the confines of the school building. It was at a party.
Okay.
I was told by someone we're not friends with anymore who I could get drugs from. And I was like, I don't wanna. That's how close I got.
My college roommate.
Nice.
Got weed for us the first time I smoked.
Yeah, but I was never like approached with like, hey kid, you want to corrupt yourself?
I can't remember how, but somehow I got the alcohol for when we had like our graduation party. I do not know how I did it.
When you graduated high school?
Yeah.
I remember I got alcohol from people I worked with who were older than me. when I worked at a fast food restaurant.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
Now let's take a break and hear about our sponsor. And now back to the show.
As day fades tonight, freshman Mitch Kramer escapes the initial hazing with his best friend Carl Burnett, but is later cornered after a baseball game and violently paddled. Fred O'Banion, a senior participating in the hazing tradition for a second year after failing to graduate, delights in punishing Mitch. Pink gives the injured Mitch a ride home and offers to take him cruising with friends that night. Plans for the evening are ruined when Kevin Pickford's parents discover his intention to host a keg party. Elsewhere, the intellectual trio of Cynthia Dunn, Tony Olson, and Mike Newhouse decide to participate in the evening's festivities. Pink and his friend David Wooderson, a man in his early 20s who still socializes with the high school students, pick up Mitch and head for the Emporium, a pool hall frequented by teenagers.
Hey, you got a joint?
Be a lot cooler if you did.
It is such a crazy and weird thing that Matthew McConaughey's Wooderson is such a creeptastic, like, gross person, but he has like some of the best lines in the movie.
He's so gross. I was like, I just want him to get off the screen. I feel like a lot of the stuff he said was just like super damning and icky, and yeah.
Just the whole idea of him, just like everything about
when
him.
He said that, like, that's the great thing about the high school girls is he gets older, but they stay the same age or something like that.
Yeah.
I was like,
yeah.
What the fuck, dude?
The and just the fact that, like, he seems so familiar with everyone in that group.
Yeah.
And just every, like, that he is, like, who knows how, they make a joke that they're like, you know, he graduated when we were three, right?
Yeah.
I think one of the trio makes that joke. Because later on, he's going to end up hitting on Cynthia. Mm-hmm. He's going to be like, you should ditch the two nerds you're in the car with now and get in with us, but that's another story. Or something. It's something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So we have Mitch, who finally has to accept his paddling, and his wonderful friends are like, hey, would you just go over that way so they get you and not us?
Right. They totally ditched him.
I couldn't stand this Carl kid.
For what reason? Because they knew that they were going to be hunted down anyways. Like, why?
Right.
Why throw your friend out there when you know that you're going to be eventually beat too?
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I tell you what, he's playing and they're taunting him. And then that whole walk, he has to walk to the gate and they're meeting him there and they're there to open the gate. I mean, can you imagine, like, just like walking to be tortured, like accepting your fate?
Yeah. Ugh, yeah.
And then just O'Banion, who, like, just takes so much pleasure in doing it. That's the Ben Affleck character.
Yeah,
he's like, I just got to get seconds with this one.
I know, he had a temper. So creepy when he said it like that. Oh my god.
Well, what is the paddling? I mean, that's like, because they used to paddle you in school. So is that a way of, like, usurping power?
Well, I can't believe you brought that up, because, like, I noticed through this whole movie this time watching it for the podcast that it's all about, like, owning everybody. Excuse me. Like, the coach is like, I own these players and they're going to do whatever I say whenever I say it. And, like, so, I mean, they're rebelling against all of that. But, like, all of these, the seniors own all of these freshmen, and these freshmen are expected to do whatever.
Yeah. So it is like a power and control.
Yeah. But, like, there's also a lot of research about spanking. As, like, it is, like, a form of sexual abuse. Like, it's not, it may not be intended that way. And I know a lot of people don't see it that way, but there is some kind of eroticism when it comes into, like, you're spanking your child's genitals, basically. I mean, there's research on it, so.
Yeah, there is. It's, like, it's not good for people at all. There's someone I know that's our age who was being initiated into a sorority who had to decorate her own paddle and then be paddled by the seniors at the sorority.
Oh,
huh. That's a mind. This is like
recent.
That is that's torturous.
Yeah, and they said that you had to keep saying thank you, may I have another.
Oh, that can't be allowed. That's not allowed.
No, it's not.
Whoever that is, that's illegal. They could get shut down.
Yeah,
that is something that is not cool. And now some investigative journalists is going to track down
and uncover. Man, I hope we're that cool.
Stop. No, I mean, but definitely, like, I always thought of this before as like a headmaster would like paddle someone to punish them, so they were doing it before. But it is pretty like spanking is pretty sexualized now. Like people
how
who
many
want
people have the fetish for spanking and
exactly
and there's
and
a
like,
reason
even, like,
why
being hurt.
Yeah,
but this was not this. This would be like the people who are doing it are. I mean, they're a little sadistic. I mean, O'Banion's getting off on it.
Oh yeah, totally.
Benny's getting off on it. I mean, Melvin does it, but then you get to Pink, and he like just taps them. And there's nothing in him that makes him want to dominate someone like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like I wouldn't need to paddle anybody, and I wouldn't be a part of anything that was like you need to paddle someone.
No.
But again, that's just me. I mean, maybe if you asked me to, I would, but not be like, hey, let's have this torture fest of paddling.
If you're two consenting adults that want to paddle, go for it.
Exactly.
But if you're coerced or hazed, don't do it.
I do like the Alice Cooper No More Mr. Nice Guy playing in the background.
No more Mr. Nice Guy.
Then a nice, thank you, Sarah.
You're welcome.
A nice pairing of soundtrack with actions in the movie.
Yes.
Okay, so now, fuck you to the keg delivery guy, right?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
He ruined everything.
Because they got that knock out of the door. Now, I want to tell you, and listeners, I want to tell you, that there is absolutely, absolutely no way that they were going to rid that room of the pot smell.
No.
And like, as if it didn't get through the cracks around the door either.
Oh, I know. And, like, pot smell does not smell like cigarette smoke, even. Like, it's, like, rancid ass.
Yeah. I mean,
right, you
no,
know.
There's no other smell like it. Right. I mean, it smells similar to skunk, but there's still no other smell like it.
I mean, even if these parents were like, oh, this must be the incense that he's always burning. No, like, you.
No, you're just dumb.
No, because you have the incense, then you have
it's
the
like
air freshener.
Mix of, yeah.
And then, he walks in the room and acts unfazed.
Yeah, not to mention that you can hear the air freshener
too. Yeah.
Like, you know you can hear that air freshener can through the door.
And he's more concerned with the fact that there was going to be a party and there were kegs and the fact that, like, they're upstairs getting high in that room right now. I mean, kids are going to try to have parties.
Right.
Yeah.
I feel like I would look the other way, like, and just pretend like nothing happened. Although I'm not sure, like, depending on age, of course, but...
When they're seniors.
Yeah.
And how can you look past, like, the keg being delivered at the front door, though? Like, just, like, we're leaving
now. I don't mean to be like, okay, cool, there's a keg.
It wasn't just one keg. It was, like, a truckload of kegs.
Yeah. But that fucking guy, because the fucking guy.
The fucking guy.
Because he wanted to get to his hot date, right?
Yeah.
But he's like, wrong, Mr. Pickford altogether. Sorry for that inconvenience.
Yeah, wasn't he like an hour early or something?
An hour and a half. And
his parents
like,
were
and it's like Sean Pickford and why was the dad like kid, you need to go down here and figure this out.
Yeah.
Like, the dad, like, he just wanted to see what would happen. And the kid was like, oh, I'm going to get away with this. I'll come down here and... Because, like, if he really didn't do anything, the kid would be like, what the hell? Why am I going down there just to talk to him?
Right. Yeah.
But he's like, nope, I'll go down there and take care of this. And then, and then ruining the whole vacation just because you didn't want your kid to have a party.
Yeah, and, like, at that point, the dad had already made up his mind about not going. I would be pissed if I was the mom, though. I would, like, I'd be like, really? We're... Because our kid's an idiot? No.
Right.
Our kid's going to go on the trip and be miserable with us.
But that was the expectation. Yeah. That's right. You got to take the kid now.
Yes.
That was the expectation then, though. Whatever hubby said, you did.
No.
So she just went along with it, and they opened the door every night. They opened the door every time kids showed up for that party. I loved each of those scenes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, the first one when the three of them are walking up and they light the joint and they're waiting. I'm like, oh God, here it comes. Here it comes.
All the people, yeah. They all run away.
Run away.
I don't know that we had already talked about how terrifying Carl's mom was with a gun.
I like that. She was protecting her young.
She was. And I love
that she shuts the door in O'Banion's face.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
And he just walks away. I mean, then they have to smile. They have to do their taunting.
Yes. And, like, you know, all the sexist name calling.
Yeah,
there's a name calling in this movie. I keep thinking, and I don't know, this is my own rationalized way, I just keep thinking, like, the movie is such a nostalgic period piece. Like, it authentically feels mm-hmm. like it's from the 70s.
Yeah.
And maybe a way that, I don't know, like, it's just like a truly, I mean, we might have said this before, but this is like a truly a window into a world
mm-hmm.
of 24 hours.
I think more so than other movies we might have said it about too. But this one is very, it's partly because everything is styled so well for that. Like we were talking mm-hmm. before about how every actor looks the part, you know, every scene is, you know, taking you back to that too.
And we talk, and we're a snowflake podcast, so we're always looking at everything with a magnifying glass. But if you look at the real world today, and especially when you look at like freshman through senior life, you can't get rid of all of the triggers and all of the realities. Because, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, triggers are triggers, but they exist.
Right. Yes. Like everybody has the high school experience. No, I mean, we shouldn't have bullying, but we do. You know, we shouldn't have all these things that exist, but they do.
You wouldn't have an authentic piece if you'd have a Disney movie, right?
Basically.
You'd have a High School Musical. Can you imagine High School Musical, the Dazed and Confused version?
Oh my God.
If they all, I don't think that, remember we talked about there was a Cruel Intentions musical? There definitely should be a Dazed and Confused musical.
There should be.
With all of the 70s and soundtrack.
Maybe there is, and we just don't know about it.
I just didn't Google that shit. So then you, we talk about people who show up at the party, or at the house looking for the party. You get Cynthia and Tony and Mike who decide that they will go to the party, and they get so amped up and like they're ready to go, and then they get there and
and
he says no and turns around.
He says hi, no, and walks.
No. I love that attitude. That's fantastic. He just, I feel like we know somebody like anymore that would have done that for sure.
Just walked away.
Just nope. Yeah. Just
nope.
I think I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah.
This Mike guy, he seems pretty Debbie Downer. He's got a line later that says, I'm just trying to be honest about being a misanthrope.
I don't think I like people, period.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm just like, that speaks to my heart.
Yes.
Like that is something that, I mean, and he's so neurotic.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point, they're like, what do you want to do with your life? I want to be a dancer.
I want to be a dancer. That was my favorite part of the whole movie. He's like, man, I thought I wanted to help people, but I'm just going to say it. I don't think I like people. I want to be a dancer. Like, I felt that so much.
Yeah, so you get all of these different personality types represented in these people. Yeah, right.
Shove stuffed animals into the microwaves.
What? What? That just, oh man. At least I guess they couldn't be turned on.
No.
But it opens it up and says, help me. Yeah. That's horrible. Yeah, but I don't think I was going around like destroying people's like home properties.
No.
I can remember stealing like a sign from a business. But
now oping.
But yes. I don't remember actually ever destroying like a mailbox or someone's house or whatever.
I've stolen Skittles and I've stolen a salt and pepper shaker.
See, I was too afraid to do anything because I like knew I wanted to be a nurse, and if I got in any legal trouble, I might not be able.
There you go. Yeah, that's responsibility. They didn't have that. They were toking the reefer, and they were like, throw the bowling ball.
Oh yeah.
He throws the bowling ball
into someone's car.
We've been going through and doing all of these talking, and in all of these scenes, there have been some great quotes. And like we miss over like a hazing quote that Parker Posey says, where it's "wipe that face off your head, bitch." Uh-huh. I love it. It's like my favorite quote of the whole movie. But then we also get my other favorite quote of the whole film, when Slater and them are talking to the girl full of cars. When Slater and them are talking to the car full of girls and they're leaving, and Slater says, check you later.
Check you later.
And they make fun of him for saying that, check you later, check you later. But I love that quote. And there's another one that Slater says when O'Banion is talking to him. He's like, O'Banion comes up and is like, hey, Slater, you hippie, give me drugs. Yeah. And Slater ends up telling him, okay, fuck you, dickhead. it's just great. But like I said, I've seen this movie so many times. I could tell you the film front and back. So I like all those the moments, and how when you go back and look at each of the characters, they are so developed. And it had to have been a blast to film this movie.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
But I thought that was funny.
Oh, yeah.
And Slater was like, hey, can you loan me $10? I'll pay you, like, next week and shit.
Like, sure you will.
So, like, Pink became a partial owner of that bag.
Yeah.
And that was a lot of stuff for $20.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
However much
it was a paying. Lot of stuff. And then later in the night, we get another glimpse of the bag, and there's like barely any in there.
Yeah, because they waste most of it when they're rolling the wrong way. Triggered. So that means when the keg is discovered, the dad decides not to go. I love you have one of the jocks who walks by and makes fun of the nerds by calling them the names of the two guys who blew the whistle on Watergate, the two journalists.
Mm-hmm.
And then so the comeback is, well, I guess that makes you Deep Throat.
I don't think I caught that.
You didn't caught that? Like, yeah. Like Woodstrom and Bernstein, I think, or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, that makes you Deep Throat. And like, I'm sure the popular jock dude just walks away and doesn't get it. But like, they definitely, you know, they spend time on all of these people, but when they spend time with Cynthia and Tony and Mike, that's when the film is like saying something like to you, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And all the other times you're like observing on your own, but it's very, I don't know, heavy handed when they are on screen.
Mm-hmm.
So then, since the party is canceled, everyone's meeting up at this Emporium pool hall. And that's when you get, the first scene when you walk in, you get Bob Dylan's Hurricane.
As the night progresses, students loiter around the Emporium, listen to rock music, cruise the neighborhood, and stop at the Hamburger Drive-In. Mitch is introduced to sophomore Julie Sims, with whom he shares a mutual attraction. While cruising again with Pink, Pickford, and Don Dawson, Mitch drinks beer and smokes marijuana for the first time. After a game of mailbox baseball, a neighborhood resident brandishing a gun threatens to call the police. They barely escape after the resident fires at their car. After returning to the Emporium, Mitch runs into his middle school friends. They hatch a plan to exact revenge on O'Banion. It culminates with them dumping paint on O'Banion, who leaves in a fit of rage.
So one of the things that I don't know if you guys noticed was at the burger place, the portions were like way smaller than like
so tiny.
Yes, like the sodas or whatever drinks they got, uh-huh. They were like what kid size cups would be today.
Yes. Yeah,
I remember kid size cups used to be smaller than that.
Yeah, like just like bigger than Dixie cups, basically. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
What?
I loved it. It was a burger place that also did fried chicken and shrimp. And it was a drive-in. It was great, and I wanted to go there. I mean, I don't know when you guys grew up in a small or small town. I graduated with a class of 400, you know, less than that, and we legit for fun would cruise up and down the main strip of our town.
Oh, we cruised too, just in the country.
But this would be like miles of like the main strip, past all of the stores. People would park at the local Walmart. They'd park at the McDonald's. Then you'd like drive to like the next place and like talk and move and park. Like it was like legit. Like then you see this in 1976 of them cruising and doing the same thing, and it brings back this like nostalgic feel of how every generation of teenagers has spent their time. They've snuck alcohol. They've snuck their drugs. They've done their, I guess, destruction of property. I mean, I can remember destroying stuff and like stealing dumb shit. And, you know, just thank God there was no Facebook or everything being posted and shit like that there.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, some of this, like destroying those mailboxes, mailboxes are a lot of fucking money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they
especially
are.
If we have to replace the supports for it. But like the kids hanging out at the Emporium, what I don't know, we didn't really have anything like that in our community for kids to just like hang out, mm-hmm. and like especially not when like I have parents, so I always wondered what life would be like with that.
Hmm.
And like when on the rare occasion that I got to hang out with you guys, we would usually like we'd either go to Walmart, watch TV, and just like laugh at stuff, or just like there were a couple times that we walked around town, but I didn't get to do that much with you guys.
Right. I mean, like we walked to like the store and to the park, and there used to be, if you go down South Main Street, there's like a little bridge with a creek and everything, and there used to be like a shack in the woods that we would go to.
Real country.
Haven't been. We should see if it's still there.
I don't know if it's still there or not. I'm pretty sure they took it down like our junior year.
Oh.
But see, that's where we used to
go. I lived more in the country city. I mean, we would drive and we'd go to restaurants and sit down and eat. And then we would drive, like we would do the Walmart thing too. Like I can remember bouncing balls, mm-hmm. in Walmart and like hitting out the floor, the ceiling tiles, and having to run.
I still have those videos of us going to Walmart, Ashley.
Oh
yeah,
all kinds of Walmart shenanigans.
We used to fake kidnap people.
I used to get in the kiddie cars, and
After the Emporium closes, an impromptu keg party is planned in a field under Moonlight Tower. Cynthia, Tony, and Mike arrive at their first keg party, where Mike is threatened by tough guy Clint Bruno. Tony runs into freshman Sabrina Davis, whom he met earlier during the hazing, and they begin hanging out together. Cynthia likes Wooderson and exchanges phone numbers with him. Mike, suffering from the humiliation of his confrontation with Clint, decides to make a stand, punches him, and gets tackled. The fight is broken up by Pink and Wooderson. Football player Benny O'Donnell confronts Pink about his refusal to sign the pledge. Pink, the only player not to have signed, believes it violates his individuality and beliefs. Mitch leaves the keg party with Julie. They drive to a nearby hill overlooking town to make out. Tony gives Sabrina a ride home and they kiss goodnight.
Why does Cynthia like Wooderson?
I don't know.
I don't see it.
Matthew McConaughey.
All right. But, like, other than that, like...
I mean, he looked like He-Man.
And he gave her some positive attention.
Yeah, the positive attention. That's what it is.
I guess, but...
I mean, he may say creepy. Are you telling me that Wooderson's not attractive?
He's attractive, but that's creepy as fuck.
But I don't think... Yeah. He's... Also, he was just kind of condescending in the way that he was talking to her. Like, why are you driving? Something along the lines of that. I don't know. He said that
she needs to ditch the geeks that she's in the car with and come with him.
He says, do you need a ride?
He says, do you need a ride? She goes, no, I have my own car.
Obviously, she's in the driver's seat.
I don't know, if some homie with a mustache rolls up and is like, do you just be like, fuck you, the fuck, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not down for the mustache either, but this is Matthew McConaughey you're talking about. Even if he has the creepy stash, Matthew McConaughey says, all right, you hop in his car.
I can't. I don't know what it is. It's, there's something about him that, like, I just, about I Wooderson, don't see him right? as at all.
About Wooderson or Matthew McConaughey?
Yes.
Both.
Both of them. Okay. No, but I think it's the attention that she gets.
They show her immediately, like, picking her hair.
Well, because I think that, anyone would, if you're out in public and all of a sudden someone gives you a compliment, no matter what it is, someone could just say, like, I like your shirt because you're wearing a graphic tee of somebody. You feel really good. So then imagine somebody comes up to you and starts, if somebody did that to me, I'd immediately think they wanted to kill me because it was like some sort of like lie or whore, like vicious joke. But there are people who are like you come up and give them a compliment and they're happy about it.
I guess if like she hasn't gotten that much romantic attention before and she's just excited that it's happening.
I don't even think it has to matter with how much she's gotten. There's a dude who's attractive. Who pulls up? I mean, how do you think people met people in that day? They didn't go on Tinder. Allegedly attractive. I think that Kate Hudson and How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days would disagree with you.
Okay. A written character disagrees with me.
Probably not.
That's fine.
Kate Hudson is an actress.
Kate. She's probably been on like the sexiest man alive list or some kind of show like that.
For like everything. Like, yeah.
I'm wondering which Matthew era we're thinking. Are we talking about Dazed and Confused Matthew or like Interstellar Matthew? Like, what are we talking about? Yeah, like
I'm talking about Dazed and Confused Matthew McConaughey because he's the one who's in the movie hitting on Cynthia.
But Hugh's thick thighs save lives. Like, come on.
But what?
Have you heard people say thick thighs save lives?
Well, yeah, but what's that have to do with Matthew McConaughey?
It doesn't. That's what I'm saying. Hugh Jackman, though.
So Hugh Jackman is like thick thighs because both of them save lives?
No, he's just he's jacked. He's buff.
Man. I mean, Matthew McConaughey is not skinny.
I mean, he's probably fit, like, sure, but it no, thank you. This is like the no, ew.
I can concede that both of these people are attractive. They both are probably pretty buff. Both have some talents. I mean, both Hollywood stars. They're doing something right.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Maybe it's the maybe it's because Hugh Jackman is Wolverine, and Wolverine's not attractive.
That's what I feel like. Like, when you guys were talking about him first, like, that's who I see, is, like, the Wolverine character and how it was, like, so overplayed and, like, done so much. And that's, like, you forget about, like, other roles, kind of. Well, I do, but.
I don't know. Still, I think I'd have to be Team McConaughey.
I don't know. I just think he's.
Well, he's whatever it is. Whatever it is. Matthew McConaughey wants to get with Cynthia, and eventually wants to meet up with her with this party later. We have,
what's that asshole's name that just wants to start the fight?
Yeah, that's Mike and Clint.
Ew.
So Mike is the friend, and then Clint is the one who's smoking the pot. Who, you're not a fucking pothead if you are raging like that.
No, yeah, you didn't just smoke. And now you're like, I want to fight this dude. No. For walking by me.
Like, not cool. And so then you have Mike, who wants to fight him because it's like he's fighting everything. He needs this, like, outlet of aggression that he's got on the world. Like, he's mad at, like, the system.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're talking about the system, and Pink, who says that signing that paper violates individuality and belief.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, does it?
I mean, yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
The whole thing is because it says specifically over the summer. Like, when you're part of a team or you're a part of a company and you have this expectation going into it that you're not supposed to do that, it's a different thing. But when they're trying to control you over your free time and, like, the rest of your life and, like, everything that is that could make you an individual, yeah, then that's,
yeah,
that is a violation of your individuality, your beliefs.
That recent Supreme Court case for free speech, do you guys know what I'm talking about?
Go ahead and explain.
It was a girl tried out for a sport. Something didn't work out. But she tweeted, fuck the school, fuck volleyball, fuck cheerleading. And she was penalized for it, even though it was on social media that this happened. And so they worked it up through the court system and the Supreme Court of the student that you should be able to have free speech when you're not, like, in school,
on the premises or something.
On the premises. If you're on the premises, you have to be following, like, school rules. But if you're not, they shouldn't be able to control what you say.
Mm-hmm.
Like that for sex and drugs and alcohol.
Well, yeah. I mean, and especially if they're 18 and they're having them sign, that's like signing their rights away.
Yeah.
In order to do that. So yeah, so you get into some, like, some gray area there. I understand they want what's best for them, but controlling someone in that way is just going to push them. Or it's going to teach them to be duplicitous, like everybody else who signed it. So that's not authentic. At least Pink is being authentic.
And saying, yeah, I'm not going to say that I'm going to sign it and say that I'll abide by the rules when I know that I'm not going to.
Yeah.
Right.
One of my favorite parts is when they're climbing up the moon tower and they're telling Mitch, the story of the freshman who had a beer and fell and hit every
head. Yeah.
Really, you had four beers. You're dead.
It only hurts the first couple of times.
Yeah. I like the scenes like that. And then you cut to, like, Slater telling the story about the weed. Like, you're watching this movie, and it's essentially a movie about nothing, but it's a movie about so much.
Mm-hmm.
Like, through these conversations that seem to not matter, you're learning about the people. So then you're learning about their choices, the life that they've made. And then you're learning about the culture of that time. And so you've built this era. And I just, it's built with all these small scenes.
Yeah. And like, I just think it's like an interesting time capsule for like a coming of age movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And
I don't know. I just remember being like the weird freshman and not knowing how to interact with these older people. And like, we didn't have to get hazed to do that, but it was just like interesting seeing it, the upperclassmen kind of chill out and like recognize, oh yeah, these are like people that we can talk to.
Yeah. I always thought that I was cool because I worked with people who were older than me. So I knew from the fast food restaurant, I knew juniors and seniors, like from when I was like in eighth grade, ninth grade. So like, I always felt like, oh yeah, like I knew you in the hallway. And like as a freshman, I joined tons of fucking clubs, like choirs and shit like that. So then like there were like, you met the quote, good upperclassmen who were not going to pound you into lockers and shit like that, because like they were you too. So like you find like these mentors, these good people who are going to allow you to like dance on the dance floor because like everyone's in a circle so no one else can see you because you guys are just kind of doing your own thing kind of stuff. And so that's what I like about like Randall Pink Floyd and like Jody in this movie, is that they take Sabrina, they take Mitch under their wing, and by doing that, they become accepted by all these other people. It's like this domino effect.
Yeah.
And I don't know what to feel anymore, because like Coach is right, they're a bad influence, but then like what are they, but then he's not right, because what are they influencing?
Well, he's right, but he's not right. He has the line, he says, no one's paying you to think about it, just do it.
Well, that's wrong.
And that's like the mentality. Like, yes, he is right about bad influence, and like, you know, you have to make sure you're taking care of yourself. You know, like you're not taking care of like your friends first or whatever. So you do, I mean, you have to focus on yourself, but it's also not about just like blindly following whatever people are telling you to do.
Mm-hmm. Like the coach wants to be the influence.
Yeah.
And that's wrong too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Even if the influence is right. I mean, I guess the road to hell is paved with good intentions, right?
Like I said earlier, it's like the coach wants to own all of these boys, like no matter if they're in school or not. Like he wants to be in total control of these boys.
At least we didn't have anybody checking for a tampon string in this one.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
Shout out to the Rage Carry 2 if you haven't listened.
Oof. Yikes. Yeah, no, like,
I don't know where to stand, because as an adult, I'm listening to the coach, and the coach is right. But then, like, Pink is right, too. But then he's not right. He's like, you don't know these people. But, like, we've gotten to know them. Slater has no ambition. Slater has no thoughts whatsoever except for weed. Wooderson's stuck in the past. And Pink himself just said, if you ever catch me referring to these as the best years of my life, he's going to kill himself. What do you think Wooderson does every time they're together? Pink is completely blinded because authority is pressing him too hard.
The reason I'm concerned about who you're hanging out with is because XYZ, just you're hanging out with losers. Like,
I know, that, yeah.
That doesn't like, come out
the losers the I was talking way. About.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah. I feel like, I don't know, things unfold like that. Just because we were, like, Sarah, and like our friends were. It's a little weird.
Yeah.
Well, plus, really, a small town. I mean, this town seemed like it was small, and it seemed like a football town. I mean, you guys should kind of know what that feels like.
Yeah.
But like we have, so the freshmen are taken under the wing, and then each of the freshmen gets a love story.
Mm-hmm.
Sabrina with Tony, and Mitch with Julie. So you've got a freshman guy, sophomore girl, and then you get freshman girl, senior guy. And like both of these relationships are shown to be authentic versus Pink and Jody, Pink and Simone.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
Yeah.
Or just telling them, like, I've seen this happen before. I hung out with so-and-so. All they wanted to do was party. And now this is what they do.
Exactly. And telling someone, you need to get your priorities straight.
Yeah.
Has never set anyone's priorities straight. No,
it's attacking them when you're wanting to show them you're helping them. I love when the cops show up and Simone is like, is it illegal to be on the football field?
Yeah. Yeah. it's going to be like young summer romance. Because they're getting ready for summer, so...
And they'll hate each other when school starts because they'll see if someone has talked to somebody else.
And it'll be drunk.
Now it'd be like, oh, you liked so-and-so's story. And I saw that you popped up on their feed or whatever. Now, back in the 70s, it would be like, so-and-so saw you at the Emporium playing pool. And they're done.
As night turns to dawn, Pink, Wooderson, Don, Ron Slater, and several other friends decide to smoke weed on the 50-yard line of the football field. The police arrive, so they ditch the drugs. Recognizing Pink, the police call Coach Conrad, the football coach. Conrad lectures Pink about hanging out with losers and insists that he sign the pledge. Pink says that he might play football, but he's not going to sign it. Pink leaves with his friends to get tickets to an Aerosmith concert. Mitch arrives home after sunrise to find his mother has waited up for him. She decides against punishment, but warns him about coming home late again. Mitch goes to his bedroom, puts on headphones, and listens to Slow Ride by Foghat as Pink, Wooderson, Slater, and Simone travel down a highway to purchase their tickets.
I love that the Aerosmith concert was like the most important defiant thing that they were going to do that summer.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Go get those tickets.
Yes, please.
I feel bad for Simone, but then I kind of don't. Like, you follow Pink around all night, and Pink, you start off seeing him with Simone and then wanting to be wishy-washy about plans. And then he wants to be with Jody, can't find her. She ditches him after she makes out with him, teases him, and is like, no, you got a boyfriend. You got a girlfriend. And then all of a sudden, Pink is like, okay, Simone, come with me to the football field, and then we'll go concert tickets together. But he doesn't really say any of that or ever really talk to her or acknowledge her.
It's just stupid high school bullshit.
And that's what I'm thinking. Yeah, it's a good representation of high school. Mm-hmm. I mean, what do these people mean to each other? Nothing. They're just fucking high school kids.
Yeah.
Yep. Survived being shot at.
I know. Yeah. I know. Man. Is there anything else we talk about in Dazed and Confused?
I don't think we talked about it, but the really cool teacher who was like, you know, the most fun I had was at the 68 Democratic Convention, and that was the one that they made a movie about, the Chicago of the massive like Vietnam War protest that like shut down Chicago. So that was actually a really big fucking deal.
Yeah, so you know that this teacher is just like a hellion, someone who is going to give free thought and fuck the system. And I think that was a very positive contribution to the movie.
Wasn't she the same one that said something about slave owning aristocratic women don't want to pay taxes? Exactly. And that's what the 4th of July is.
Yeah.
Exactly. Dropping some truth.
Yeah.
The condescending, but very, like,
very, very cool shutdown of we should hook up. Like, I love that.
The pat on the head. Yes.
The pat on the head. Like, don't no, stupid child.
Mitch gets that moment of, like, he is drunk and he's had this whole night of partying. He gets to lay down on his bed and listen to some good music and just drift off to sleep. And that's one of, like, the best feelings you can have.
You've had a great night.
Yeah.
Everything's going your way. Made out, made friends, smoked the reefer, had the alcohol, rode in the awesome cars, hung out at the spot you always wanted to hang out with, surpassed your friends in coolness.
Thought that was really cool. They're figuring it out. They're on their way.
Mitch gets home, and his mom takes him by the ear and just lets him go drunk into his bed.
His mom doesn't do shit. She doesn't punish him or nothing. That's bullshit. My parents would have beat my ass.
Yeah.
I would have gotten, like, the guilt trip of my life and not have been able to leave for a really, really long time. But I really liked her approach to just, like, hey, I wish you hadn't done that. You're not going to be punished. But next time.
Yeah, it was. I liked her a lot.
All right, so Dazed and Confused, all talked out.
I really like the soundtrack. It's not my favorite movie. Like, I'll probably never to watch it again. But if someone was like, hey, should I watch this? Say, sure. Why not?
Yeah, I would recommend it too.
It's now time for snowflake ratings and recommendations. Mm-hmm. How triggering? How many snowflakes? You tell someone to watch this movie, how triggered might they be by it?
I give 2 snowflakes.
How? 2, you say?
For social change.
Mm-hmm.
I gave it 1.
Yeah, I was teetering between 1 and 2. But the whole, the hazing, the paddling was, like, it really drew me out of the movie because I was really off-put by that. And so I went ahead and, I was hitting like 1.5 or so.
No one said it was wrong. I mean, they kept making jokes about the acceptance.
Yeah, and that it was like fun and enjoyable for people.
I thought the movie was really fun. There are some times where there are some homophobic slurs, when they're talking about, like, basically people like guys doing things like, and like man up type territory stuff, like you call them a name, the toxic masculinity, call them a name that's a homophobic slur so that then they act more manly and do what you want them to do. Some of those are said like so quickly, but I guess I have to give it a 1. I don't think I could give it a none. I wasn't triggered by, I mean, I maybe was, but I really, I don't know. This movie is such a part of me that I recommend it too. I'm gonna go ahead and give you that.
And did we get Sarah Snowflake?
Yeah, I gave it 1.
1. Yeah, okay. Yeah. This is one of my top movies of all time. Like, this is like one of my top rewatch movies of all time. I put it on, the soundtrack is there, each scene is something that I love. I like the journey of the whole night. I'm definitely recommending this movie. I'm giving it a 1 snowflake, but just because I feel like I'm supposed to. I really, in the future, I know for sure I'll probably sit down and watch this with my kids. And we'll just think that it's a period piece of the 70s and just be like, yeah, that's awesome. Or they probably won't want to watch it with me because I won't be cool, but maybe they'll take it off the shelf and watch it on their own. I don't know. It's one of my top 3 films of all time, so I'm sure they're going to watch it sometime.
I'm sure.
You go ahead, Kristen.
I'm going to go ahead and also recommend this movie because I like this movie. I enjoy it. The soundtrack's great, and it is like, it's like a blast from the past. It is like looking into just a glimpse from that time period. And I didn't feel like, although the paddling scenes did take me out of the movie, I didn't feel like it ruined the movie for me.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a good time to put on and just step into, and definitely if you're sparking up a joint, most definitely.
Mm-hmm.
because I think that would probably make it a little more enjoyable.
Be a whole lot better if you did.
So toward the end of the podcast where we've given our snowflakes and our recommendations, this is about the time where I have to think about how do I connect this to Buffy the Vampire Slayer? And I already have.
Of course.
It is the weirdest thing that I thought that this would be hard. I'm jinxing myself because like the next one's probably going to be difficult. But I really didn't think that we'd be able to carry all of these films for all of this time, connecting all of them to Buffy. And we've been doing it for several films now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so Parker Posey plays Darla in this movie. She is wipe that face off your head, bitch. She says that line. She is in Scream 3 with David Arquette, who's in Scream 2 with Sarah Michelle Gellar, who is Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
There we go.
Very nice.
So we can connect to Buffy because she is the chosen one. I mean, you've already heard about it, but...
You can find it on Facebook at Millennial Movie Mix.
And keep up with us on Instagram at Millennial Movie Mix Podcast.
And don't forget to join us next Monday when we go over Detroit Rock City from 1999.
With a special surprise.
A little surprise. That's right. Coming with our sex, drugs, and rock and roll, we have a little goodie, a cherry on top next week. So come back, click on the podcast, and I don't know, we'll check you later.
Check you later.
Check you later.
All right. All right, bye.
Bye.
Bye.